G'day, it's Bernie Gaynor. You can find me every Sunday on goodsource.news with my weekly Bernie Gaynor show, or on my website, bernardgaynor.com.au. And today, I'm sitting via video conference with Mark Latham, the One Nation MP from New South Wales. He's doing a great job down there and is raising some real issues of concern. And one issue that I think many Australians thought had been sorted out is the very controversial, awful Safe Schools program. Most Australians probably thought it had gone, but it's back. And so Mark Latham has introduced a bill into New South Wales Parliament to ban gender fluidity indoctrination in schools, to reassert the right of parents to teach their children moral and ethical values, and to ensure that schools consult with parents about programs that touch on issues of morality. So, Mark, thank you very much for your time today.
A pleasure. Thanks, Bernie. Good to be with you.
Now, before we get into the questions, I'd like to take you back just a couple of years to 2017. This is a news clip from when the Safe Schools program was initially first banned in New South Wales. Mr. Producer, can we please have that clip?
These are some of the parents who felt the Safe Schools program was inappropriately pushing their children to question their gender identity.
I think puberty is a really difficult time to be exploring these issues and certainly to be making lifelong, life-changing decisions.
In a statement confirming the axing of Safe Schools, Education Minister Rob Stokes said bullying will never be accepted in New South Wales public schools, whether it be because someone is overweight, gay, based on the colour of their skin, or for any other reason.
Well, the Safe Schools program went a little bit further than what it was initially designed to go, and there's been a lot of discussion about making sure that we have programs that are broad-based programs.
The Safe Schools program was introduced by the Gillard government, rolled out when Tony Abbott was PM. Today, he welcomed its demise, describing it as a social engineering program dressed up as anti-bullying. Federal Labor had pledged $6 million to keep the program going.
It is important that children go to school and are not bullied on the basis of their sexuality.
Since 2014, 135 schools here have delivered the program in classrooms. Since then, referrals to the Children's Hospital at Westmead for gender services have reportedly tripled. Critics say that's because the program teaches children they can identify as male, female, or both, regardless of their sex at birth. The state government is still drawing up its new anti-bullying strategy due to be rolled out in Term 3. Brian Seymour, 7 News.
So, Mark, with news reports like that in 2017, most Australians would have thought that Safe Schools had come and gone. But what exactly has been going on in New South Wales, and what have you found out?
Well, Bernie, that 2017 decision eliminated the Safe Schools curriculum component. It was taken out of the curriculum. It was never an anti-bullying program. Bill Shorten was wrong in saying that. The founder of Safe Schools, Ros Ward, said it was about neo-Marxism and gender fluidity, effectively gender confusion among young people. So it was taken out of the actual syllabus, but there's more than one way in which you can introduce this stuff into schools. And what we've found out in recent times is that, remarkably, New South Wales has 42,000 professional development teaching courses. This is part of the requirement for teachers to update their skills. And nobody in New South Wales, not NESA, not the Minister, not the Premier, knows what's in the 42,000, because NESA, the New South Wales Education Standards Authority, they accredit about 800 providers of these courses, but they don't know what's actually happening in the provision itself in the 42,000 courses. So we've found out that the New South Wales Teachers Federation, an outfit called Multiverse, one from Victoria called Teacher Learning Network, are running gender fluidity courses to show the teachers how to reintroduce effectively Safe Schools type material into the English curriculum, PD, HPE, even in maths, to find ways of using Safe Schools type resources and get them into the classroom. So it's come back through the back door through professional development training. And there's some examples, a lot of parental complaints that they find out about this material too late. You know, parents who say the daughter's texted me yet again that English today was gender studies, and the list goes on. So if it was good enough to take Safe Schools out of the curriculum in 2017, it should be good enough to support my bill, which puts there right there in law the outlawing of gender fluidity teaching course development and teacher training in New South Wales.
So, Mark, it sounds like there was one Safe Schools program and it's now been replaced deceitfully, I guess you could say, within the teacher training systems with potentially hundreds of similar crazy gender fluidity study programs. Now, before I get into more details of this thing, how well is the New South Wales education system working? Is it working well when we have teachers being trained to think that a boy can become a girl or vice versa?
Well, no, the government's lost control of the system and these things shouldn't be happening. Ministers don't even know that they are happening. I've had to bring it to the government's attention through the parliament. So the system's out of control and the big difference is, and I'm sure all parents notice this, that 30 or 40 years ago, the conventional, the sound view of an education was that school there is set up to advance the skills, the qualifications and the career and life prospects of the student. The school was there to service the families and the student, give the kids a good start in life. What's changed over the last 25 years is that activists have got hold of the schools and they think there's a function for the school in political and social change, that the school should be an agent of remoulding the views and values of students. Well, you know, if wacky leftists get in charge of the system and they think gender fluidity teaching not only for kindergarten kids but down into the preschool system is a good thing, then you've got something that's anti-educational, damaging to the children. I regard it as a form of child abuse and I said that in the parliament and that's why I brought in the bill to reassert parental rights and outlaw the gender fluidity teaching.
Now, is this having an impact on the educational standards in other areas? So how is numeracy and literacy, for instance, how successful is that being taught in New South Wales? How are they compared to other nations or other states in Australia?
Well, dreadful. New South Wales has the fastest falling school academic results in the world, not just in Australia, in the world. And this has been a disaster over the last 20 years. And in terms of teaching content, this is what we call postmodernism. The view on gender is to say to young people that whether you're male or female, that's socially constructed. It's not a biological reality. It's not to do with biological science. It's socially constructed. The way your parents dressed you, the colours pink and blue, society's expectations. It's an anti-science, anti-educational doctrine, and postmodernism is in other areas of teaching as well. And what it basically says to young people is you can't trust any of the information that you observe in your own life, your family unit, Australia's history, your understanding of science, geography, other subjects. It's all been socially constructed around you. So this is an anti-educational doctrine because it undermines student trust and confidence in what they're learning. They're told there's no such thing as verifiable facts. It's all been constructed in a different way. So it confuses students. If students aren't trusting in what's taught in the classroom, if they're having a confidence in facts and knowledge, well, it's hardly surprising. Our results are a disgrace that they've gone through the floor.
Now, I think some of the parents, or I think any parent, would be very concerned about some of the information you spoke about in your second reading speech. For example, you mentioned some of the courses coming out of Western Sydney University that have students role play same-sex marriage at preschool. Can you elaborate on some of these programs?
Well, there's one of these outfits, a provider, Multiverse. They applied for accreditation for preschool teacher training for play with clay and storytelling. So that's what they were ticked off to do, but it ended up being an exercise in political indoctrination. Anyone can go to the Multiverse textbook. It's called Anti-Bias, and you'll see there advice that everything about the preschool classroom should be set up to make it comfortable with gender fluidity, that the dollhouse should have transgender characters in there, that stories should change the characters to introduce transgender characters. I suppose Goldilocks and Cinderella end up being transgender boys under that advice. And then at page 60 of the textbook, it says that if you see some little kids doing a mock wedding, a bit of play, where a little boy in a mock play environment is marrying a little girl. Step in. This is not instruction. It's an intervention. It's policing the play to step in and say to the boy, you can marry another boy, and set up that scenario, and say to the girl, you can marry another girl, and drag a second girl in and do the wedding that way. So, you know, this is a sick ideology where little kids, 3 and 4 years old, who have got no sexual instincts or awakening, that doesn't come until the puberty experiences, that preschool teachers are told to jump in, to intervene, to manipulate the play, to encourage the notion of same-sex marriage and, I suppose, sexuality diversity, as they call it. Now, when you're doing that to little kids, there's something gone wrong here, hasn't there? I mean, the notion of kids playing is one of the great innocent, joyful aspects of our life, and parents should be horrified that this mob, who had an accreditation for play with clay, are instructing along the lines of telling teachers to put their queer lens on. That's the material that we know about, put your queer lens on. So, again, it's the deception of this, that Safe Schools was never about anti-bullying. Multiverse instruction, from what we can see, hasn't been about play with clay. These are indoctrination programs that take little kids and put them in indoctrination camps.
Well, that's just terrible, Mark. That must be very confusing for young children. As a father myself, I'll be very angry if my children are being exposed to this kind of rubbish. Now, are these programs only a problem in the state education system? Can parents who send their children to Catholic schools, for instance, breathe easy?
Well, no. We've uncovered in recent times a series of complaints about a Catholic girls' college, secondary college in Wollongong, just south of Sydney, where the parents there advised me that there was a year 7 course on degendered pronouns, so don't say him or her. There was a year 11 geography class on misgendered babies, the idea that the baby was gendered by the colour of the clothing rather than the biological reality, were they male or female. So when this is happening in a Catholic college in year 11 geography, you've got to be horrified. This school has signed up for the International Baccalaureate, which is a UN-aligned Geneva organisation, and part of their ideology is gender fluidity. So I think the Catholic system's got to have a good look at itself, because the government funding over the years for Catholic schools has been on the basis they provide a moral and religious alternative to government schools. But if they're teaching the same gender fluidity rubbish that the state schools are teaching, well, what's the point? What's the point now of a Catholic education?
That's a very good question. Probably not time to get into that today, but I think the bishop should have a good hard look at what's going on in some of these schools. Now, you're a politician. You speak to many, many people all over the states. Has any parents ever come to you and said they want their children taught about gender fluidity at school?
No. You hear a lot of complaints and requests about the school system, but never that one, that there's an absence of gender fluidity teaching. You know, this is the other main aspect of my bill, to say that these are matters for parents, for families. And there are parental rights that have been wiped, ignored in New South Wales and other parts of the country. And we've got to restore the notion that when it comes to the moral, ethical, social, political development of the child, that's a matter of parental primacy. Parents are in charge of that. And no parent should have to find out their kid's been doing stuff in those areas in a school, contrary to the wishes and values of that family. So the bill establishes a right for parents to be consulted about what's being taught and to take their kids out in any of the areas of parental primacy where they're not comfortable with the school's approach. So we've got to go back to the notion that schools are there to serve as families, not the other way around. The activists have grabbed hold of school education and parents have been wiped, so my bill tries to get it back in balance.
Now, Mark, I've just noticed in the last couple of days there's been a bit of coverage about your bill, particularly from some very extreme left outlets. And the Greens, David Shoebridge in particular, and a number of LGBT groups are very upset at this idea that parents should have primacy over the moral education of their children. Why do you think the Greens want to replace parents with the state?
Well, it's their ideology. They want state control so that everyone ends up being like them. That's the whole point of indoctrination. It's not freedom. It's not diversity, which they otherwise preach. It's a uniform society where the ethos would be, if you don't believe in what the Greens believe in, there's something wrong with you. So the stuff they put out, I mean, there's a mob called Equality Australia. They've got a business model of scaring the gay community and then trying to raise money from them, you know, scaring them with a whole pack of lies about this bill. There's stuff there that's wildly inaccurate, saying that under this legislation, transgender kids won't exist in high schools anymore. They won't be able to get see the school counsellor. All of this is just a complete fabrication. There's no argument being put against the substance of the bill and the nature of the problem, so they've invented propaganda to scare people, to mount a campaign. You know, they're a remarkable group, the LGBTIQ activists, the alphabet activists, because they've established their own rights, and good luck to them, over the past 30 years. They've established a whole series of political rights and improvements as they'd see it, but then they want to deny others rights, parental rights, religious freedom rights, another bill of mine. So, you know, there's sort of an aggressive authoritarianism about the way these people work. And boy, you know, the propaganda involved would make Chairman Mao blush.
It probably would. It seems to me that these people have a great desire to have control over the way other people's children are educated. Now, is there evidence that these programs, these safe schools type programs or training programs for the teachers, are in other states as well? Is this something just New South Wales needs to deal with? I know that's where you are, but should Australians in the rest of the nation be concerned as well?
Well, they should. You know, safe schools has always been in Victoria, where Dan Andrews has been a champion of it. I don't think he's ever sent his own kids to a school with the program, but he wants it for everyone else. So it's always been in Victoria. And if it's happening in teacher training programs, and there's advice there on how you get Gaby Baby movie into English and PD, HPD programs, and how you get it into maths and how you get gender fluidity into other subjects, you can be sure it'll be happening in other states. So I would very strongly urge parents, check out the preschool or the school that you're thinking about for your children if they're that young. And when they are at school, find out every day what was taught in the classroom. And if you're not comfortable with it, do something about it, because you can't just trust in the system anymore. The system's been overrun by a mutant, dangerous, sick ideology pushing gender fluidity onto other people's kids. Now, some parents want to do it for their own kids. Well, I suppose that's what happens in a free society. But leave others alone, and families must have control of these matters. Questions of gender and sexuality, intensely personal, must be sorted out in the family home and, if need be, with medical experts.
Now, Mark, you're obviously with One Nation. You're not part of the government in New South Wales, but it is led by a conservative, supposedly Liberal National Coalition. Why is this happening under what Australians think is a conservative state government?
Well, I don't think they're conservative. They push the weirdest stuff you could ever see. And look at the public sector. We're on every second street corner in New South Wales, there's an LGBTI staff unit. I don't know what sexuality has got to do with the New South Wales Public Service and getting good customer service outcomes for the taxpayers. But this has been allowed to flourish as part of an ideology where sexuality has got to be introduced into every conceivable part of society. You know, sexuality in large part is a private matter for the confines of the family. And it doesn't really spill over into many other areas, maybe Hollywood, but not much else. So the government in New South Wales is not conservative. They haven't got control of the education system. They're not strong in grabbing hold of problems and dealing with them straight away. They did do one good thing there in 2017, banning safe schools, but to sit by and watch it come back in the back door through the training programs is obviously wrong. The government now knows about it. What are they doing? Nothing. But I'm hoping they can support my bill on the basis if they ban Safe Schools program in the curriculum in 2017, why would you be against legislating that decision in other aspects of the education system?
Absolutely. So let's talk about your bill now. I outlined briefly at the start some of the things it aims to achieve. But if you could just talk a little bit about what you want your bill to achieve, what's the timeline from here, and will there be an opportunity for the people of New South Wales to put submissions in support of it?
Yes, the bill's been referred to the Upper House Education Committee, which I chair, and there'll be submissions about three aspects of it. The first is what the hell happened with the 42,000 professional development courses? How did that ever go so far out of control? Secondly, what can we do to improve parental rights in the school environment, where parents have got the right to know and the right to act if they're not comfortable with the school's approach? And the third aspect is the outlawing of gender fluidity teaching, course development and teacher training. So we'll take those three aspects in turn and invite submissions and commentary. There's a chance for a lot of parents to have their say. You know, when Safe Schools was banned in 2017, it was Asian communities, Asian parents on the lower north shore of Sydney who had their say, others who didn't like it in Western Sydney. So don't assume for a moment that, you know, ethnic communities are comfortable with this approach. In fact, they've led the charge against it. And their traditional values, religious and cultural, have got to be respected. It's a chance for everyone to have their say and also to address the outrageous propaganda that's come from Equality Australia and Shoebridge and the Greens. I mean, these people just make things up. So we'll get to the bottom of the facts and hopefully come up with a good piece of legislation for the benefit of New South Wales families.
Well, thank you very much, Mark, for your time today and for your hard work in the New South Wales Parliament. I hope this bill succeeds. I hope everyone listening to this does their bit to see common sense restored and provides their support through a submission for the bill as well. That's very important. Below this interview, I will put a link to your fantastic second reading speech. It has a lot of detail about some of the crazy ideas that have been pushed down to preschool level in the school. So you'll be able to click to read Mark's speech there. I'll also put a link, if I can, through to your questions on notice, because this is not just the only area you're holding the government to account. I think you've asked far more questions than any other person in the upper house in New South Wales over all sorts of areas of New South Wales politics. And people should spend half an hour one day having a look at some of the questions you've asked, very good questions, and some of the sidestepping answers that you've received to these important questions, I think. So thank you, Mark, once again for your time and good luck with the bill.
Okay, thanks, Bernie. Thanks for your time.
That's it for the Bernie Ganna show today. I'd like to put a plug in for Dave Pallow, who is working incredible hours behind the scenes to produce and bring you all the content on Good Source News. He's doing a great job and none of this would be possible without his hard work and efforts. If you missed the excellent interview with Mark Drury on Good Source earlier or last week, make sure you go and check it out, especially if you want some understanding and insight into the threat that Islam poses our Western society. And stay tuned this week. There's plenty of great content coming up. Make sure you click like, make sure you share the posts, and if you can, please sign up and support with donations on a weekly, monthly, basis to keep goodsource.news going. Free speech is not free, and without your help, Good Source simply cannot continue.
The Bernard Gaynor Show is a production of The Good Source, hosted by Bernard Gaynor. To watch, listen to, or read more content without the SJW PC fact filter, visit goodsource.news. Good SAUCE.news. Become a Good Source supporter for exclusive access to live and unedited interview recordings, including the conversations before and after the show.